Well, good morning once again, brothers and sisters. If you do have your Bibles, if you'd please open with me to Colossians chapter 3. And I just want to give a bit of pretext to the text for those of you who haven't been involved in the Colossians series that we've been going through. Just a little bit of background on the actual letter that it was written to the church. It was the church was being infiltrated by false teaching, by mysticism, and by things that can be damaging to the body of Christ and to its members. And so Paul has written this letter in order to encourage and continue and help them to continue in their walk and in their faith. And Paul is continuing here in chapter 3. Speaking of those things that should be put to death. So the title of my sermon this morning is Dead to the Old, Alive in Christ, because that's what Paul is calling the church to do and to be, is to put the things that are dead, to leave them buried and to raise up and to walk into the fullness of Christ that we have been called to as followers of him. And so if you do, if you are a note taker, I'm going to try my best to let you know which points are. And if you are one that writes in your Bibles, can I encourage you very strongly to the very beginning of this text, verse 5, circle that therefore. So I'm going to read it out to us and then we're going to start to go through it. So Paul writes this, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And the reason why the therefore is so important is because that should be the reminder of this command that we have been reset, that we are, if we have died with Christ, we have been therefore risen with Christ, and that should be the thing that shows our union with Christ, is that therefore comment. It should treat as an impulse that the old nature is dead and that the new one is alive. That the old is dead, that the new is alive in Christ. And Paul is saying, therefore, since you have died with Christ and that you are being raised with him, consider the things that you used to do to be dead with you. Is that we no longer should have the desires of the same caliber. That it shouldn't be the things that we are focusing our mind and our attention and our hearts on. Is that these things should be put to death with us. And Paul gives us this list of internal and idolatrous sins that we should be putting to death. Paul begins with sins of desire, with sexual immorality. Paul is saying that that should be put to death. That impurity should be put to death. Passion that is uncontrolled and inflamed urges should be put to death. Evil desires should be put to death. And then Paul calls it truly what it is, greed, as idolatry. He's saying, put these things to death. They're no longer the things that should be the focus, but Christ should be the focus. That these things die with us whenever we died with Christ. Now, how do we put these things to death? Is that we put them to death by realizing the fact that we are a new creation, that we are a new being, that we are new in Christ. That the old us died whenever we remember the things that Christ has done. That whenever the Holy Spirit convicted us of our sins, that whenever we believed that Christ truly is the Son of God, that Christ truly is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whenever he died, was buried and rose again, whenever our hearts change for that, is that our desires should change with it. Our desires should be to want to love him, to honor him, and to follow his commandments. The desires of his heart should be the desires of our hearts. And the thing is that whenever we truly understand that is whenever we start to open up to that. Is that our desires change, our hearts change with Christ. As we're being more and more sanctified into his image. As we are continuing to be made new in him. Is that it's not our old self that is trying to be better. It's not us that we say, okay, you know what? I acknowledge that Christ is Lord. And so now I'm going to do better at this thing called life. Is that no, it's a new heart and it's a new passions that's put in us. Paul talks about this in scripture as well, that my flesh is doing what my heart doesn't. And that my heart does what my flesh doesn't. Is that the desires are wanting to change. And the thing is that when we've truly met with God, our desires truly change. Is that if we look at our lives and it looks no different than it did before we encountered Christ, the question has to be asked is, did we truly encounter Christ? Or was it an emotional response that we had once upon a time? But Paul gives this list. And we can look at it and why is it idolatry? Well, let's just look at a few examples. Why is greed idolatry? Well, it's saying that Christ isn't enough. And so I have to also have this. And then I will be satisfied. Sexual immorality says that Christ can't truly satisfy me. And so I need this. Every lust that we go through is a false worship. It is a covetous impulse. And it is a competing false god. Is that why should we put these things to death? Because they take away from our mind and our heart to want to follow Christ. To sit things above where he is. Remember whenever we went through the earlier parts of this chapter. Verse of going where Christ is. Being seated with him, focusing upon him, focusing upon where he is. That's where our hearts should sit, and that's where our desires should sit as we seek to want to follow God. Because the thing is that within our sinful state, our unregenerated state, these were the things that we focused on, isn't it? We focused directly on all of these things. We go and satisfy ourselves and to make ourselves feel good and to build ourselves up. But whenever we are in Christ, we are no longer called to build ourselves up or to make ourselves feel good. But we are called to glorify and worship him. We are called to lift him up. And we are called to lift one another up as believers in Christ. That these things that Paul is writing is not simply just for the individual Christian, but this is for the greater church. That we should be striving for these things together as in a union together as brothers and sisters in Christ as we are going out to serve each other and this world. And then Paul continues with a warning. So sorry, before we carry on, that was point number one. Put to death the old life. Then part two of the same point. The warnings of wrath. And Paul continues, on account of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. This should be a sobering reminder that sin is not merely harmful, but it is damnable. That the wrath of God is going to one day be poured out on those who don't believe. That the wrath of God is one day going to be poured out on those who are in hell. The day whenever true separation takes place, whenever we receive the one thing that we've wanted the entire time is to satisfy us. To be void of God. To be void of his presence, to be separated truly. That on this account, that the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. This should be a sober reminder for us. For those of us who are in Christ, of where we once were. The Bible says that we were once enemies to God. You know, we weren't simply just people that didn't believe and so therefore carried on. Is that no, we were considered enemies. We were against the very nature of God. That's why the grace is so amazing that God gives to us, is because he makes us alive to be able to see these things, to desire him, to want to know him. That this day is the day whenever that separation takes place, whenever there is the acknowledgement of who Christ truly is, but being separated from him. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. That is everybody. That is not just professing Christians. That is everybody. The entire nation bows down and acknowledges Christ for who he truly is. That's the day when the entire world bows down and says, you are who you said you are. You are the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But on that day is a separation. It's too late to acknowledge him and to be separated at the same time. It will be an awesome day, but it'll be a day, I think, where sadness and joy at the same time. It's a weird thing to understand of the concept of that, because our sinful nature and our sinful hearts still long to see these things unfold, don't they? But it should be a sobering reminder to us. And can I just say, is that if you're not in Christ, can I encourage you to seek him? My prayer is that the Holy Spirit would be convicting you and showing you who he is this morning. But then we get to, after we have this warning of wrath, we get to see this testimony of grace. Verse 7, in them you also once walked, when you were living in them. Is that the gospel should humble us. That we're not saved because we were better than others. That we were truly rescued. That Christ came and breathed breath into our lungs. That Christ woke us from this dead. That our testimony as we go out and share these things should not be of, look what I did. Look what I've managed to accomplish. But look what Christ has done for me. Is that I am no different than anybody else in this world. That I was born a sinner as well. And that I am still a sinner today. But that Christ breathed his breath of life into me. That he has made me a new creation. That it is no longer me who lives, but Christ that lives in me. And so therefore, I can put to death these things. Therefore, I can remember that I don't have to endure the wrath of God because Christ endured it for me. That I once walked this way in this manner, and now I walk in this manner with Christ. And because I walk in this manner with Christ, is that I can face the day fully. I can walk knowing that he is in me and walks with me, and that he is there before I arrive, and that every situation, Christ is there. Because we are no longer living by our own strength and our own ability, but we are living solely because of Christ. That we are living solely because of him, that we can put to death these things. Because he is the one that strengthens us and encourages us the entire way. Because these things that we're talking about putting to death, they're not simply, okay, I'm going to stop thinking about these things now, is it? How do we go from minds that were corrupted to minds that are now in Christ? Is that we have to seek Christ. We have to seek him. We have to realize that we are walking with him, that we are not doing this in our own strength. And if you are trying to do it in your own strength, can I encourage you to stop trying to do it in your own strength? Trust Christ. He is the all-sufficient one. You know, if you are sitting there and thinking of things that are on this list, pray that Christ would continue to change your heart. Pray that Christ would change your heart, make it new. You know, one of my prayers every morning is this psalm, you know, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. That's a hard task to take on by oneself, isn't it? That the words of my mouth, the things that I say throughout the day, that the things that I dwell on in my mind would be pleasing to him. That's a hard task to take. And of course we fail, and of course we stumble, and that's where we get to see this grace of that in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you are back to verse 5. Therefore, because you are in this, is that you get to do this. You get to put these things to death. You get to walk in newness because of the things that Christ has done. These are the internal and idolatrous sins that we face. But therefore, because we have died with him, consider those things dead. We don't worry about things that are dead anymore, do we? And why is that? You know, if you have a dead plant in your house, you don't sit there and keep watering it. What do you do with that plant? If the plant is dead, it's dead, isn't it? We can try and we can struggle and we can go online and look up all these funky ways in order to make our house plants alive again. But the fact of the matter is that once it's dead, it's dead. And so what do we do with it? We take it outside, put it in the green willy bin, and let somebody take it away. And the thing is that we already experience that whenever we come to Christ. Is that the old is dead, it's been put in the wheelie bin and wheeled away, and the new one is there. It's not us trying to be morally good all of a sudden, but it is a new creation, it is a new being, it is a new heart and new desires. That all of these things are new. It's not the old us. And why do we do these things? Why put them to death? Why strive to be one that is focusing on other things, focusing upon Christ at the first? Because that's all we can do. That's all we can do to honor him is by obeying him, isn't it? It's by focusing upon him, obeying him, because that's what we can do. My point number two, Paul's saying is putting off social sins, verse 8. But now you also lay them all aside, wrath, anger, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Those are hard ones to do at times, aren't they? So we can have that prayer, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. And then someone cut you up. You get to work and your boss is in a bad mood and treats and says things to you that maybe he shouldn't have in the moment of anger or weakness. And then all of a sudden our meditations and our hearts change slightly, don't they? How dare you talk to me that way? Do you know who I am? He just cut me off. Who does he think he is? And Paul's saying, no, lay them down. Put them off. Paul's using the imagery of filthy clothes. That these sins are not fitting for those that are clothed in Christ's righteousness. Wrath, outbursts of fury. Anger is simmering hostility toward someone or something. Malice, a desire to harm. Slander, speaking falsely or in ways that tear down. Abusive speech. Words poisoned by contempt. Is that these are the things that we should be fleeing. Lay them aside. Throw them off. Put them in the green wheelie bin so that they're taken away. Is that these aren't small sins. These aren't small things that trip us up at times. They destroy fellowship with one another. They destroy fellowship with us as a body of believers. Wrath, anger, malice, slander. abusive speech. This is for the greater body as we are followers of Christ together in this church, the local church. These are the things that are so damaging to the local church. How dare they say that to me? How dare they act that way? Have you seen what they've done? The pettiness that builds within us is ridiculous, isn't it? Whenever we start, when we actually look and see about what we're getting angry of and what we're getting angry about in church, the things that we say to each other, is that sometimes I think we are so free that we forget that other people have feelings and that we approach things, yes, honestly, but in a way that is graceful. And in a way that is going to encourage and not destroy. Is that, as the terminology that Frantz has used of going off the reservation, there's two ways of bringing somebody back onto the reservation, isn't there? There's encouraging somebody to go back on the reservation or getting a lasso. There's one that is graceful and one that is abrupt. Sometimes the lasso is needed. Sometimes it is. Because sometimes the discipline is needed. I'm not saying that we should never have these things in our toolbox, but that we should first be going with grace to people, speaking to them in a manner to which we would like to be spoken to. But as I say, sometimes we do need that abrupt, hey, you're doing this. You need to stop doing this. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I love you and I love the Lord and I know where he's calling you and where he has called you. But these are things that are social sins. These are things that are going, that help facilitate poor church. They're not small sins. They destroy fellowship. They dishonor Christ. And what they also do is that they reveal hearts that are not governed by the Spirit. They're not small sins. They're damaging sins. Sins both damaging to you as the individual and to the body as well. And Paul continues on with the social sins. Is do not lie to one another. Verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man with its evil practices. We know we shouldn't lie. But that lying can be so damaging. Lying can be the difference of so many things. It has no home within among the people of God. A heart that is misleading to others, misleading to your brothers and sisters. You know, the beauty is that we should be able to be open and honest with people here in this place more than anywhere else. And how do we do that? I want it to be heard very loudly that we need to see the church truly as what it is, as a covenant community. You have been purchased by the blood of Christ, just as I have been purchased by the blood of Christ. We are brothers and sisters together in Christ, here together in Great Harwood to worship Christ and honor Christ by going into the world to tell people about Christ. That is our focus, and that is the point of church, is to join together as covenant community, doing life truly together with one another. And what does that mean? That means fellowship with one another. And I don't mean fellowship with one another of let's grab a quick coffee after church and chat for a bit. Fellowship with one another. Stay with us after church on a Sunday. Eat with us. You know, it's been so cool to see it grow over the last couple of years. It's gone from one table to like five. We're kind of running out of tables. But that's a great problem to have, isn't it? If we're having to say, okay, well, we need more tables so more people can join together to eat with one another, to fellowship with one another, to be able to talk about things that are beyond the norm of football or what's going on in politics, but truly encouraging one another. Praying with one another. You know, can I encourage you to come to the prayer meetings? Praying with one another. It is such an amazing experience to see praying with one another. Seeing the things that God is doing in the church and in people's hearts as we are bringing prayers before Him. As we are bringing our prayers and petitions before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The sovereign one of this universe that can change anything at the drop of a hat. That we get to come together as a body of believers to speak to Him. It's a great experience. Can I encourage you to come to the prayer meeting? Because we are truly a covenant community. Or we should be. A covenant family. That one day we get to worship together with all of our brothers and sisters throughout time and history. Together we get to worship the King of Kings. You know, I said this a few weeks ago. Whenever we had the conference here in September and we all joined with Ramsbottom in the afternoon, I was thinking to myself of just, this is a very, very, very small taste of what heaven is like. Is that I'm standing next to strangers, but we have this one thing in common, is that we get to worship Him. That we get to adore Him and to praise Him. That the gospel goes well beyond any social norm. Is that it doesn't matter what country you're from. Doesn't matter your age. Is that we can worship Him together because we have this one thing in common with one another. That we can go to a church in India, or we can go to a church in Africa, or we can go to a church in North America and worship that same God. To enjoy Him. And Paul should be, this should be a reminder to us of what we truly need to put to death. We need to put to death these internal and idolatrous sins, this eternal and idolatrous hearts that we have. We need to put to death these social sins, the things that help in corruption of the church. And then my third point is we need to put on the new man. Verse 10. Put these things to death. And put on the new man who is being renewed to a full knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Let me read that again. Put on the new man who is being renewed to a full knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. It means we get to put on Christ's image. That we are image bearers of Him. As I said earlier, is that this is not a self-improvement time. This is new nature granted in regeneration. That means that we get to be new creation in Christ. That we get to enjoy sanctification in Him. We get to be made more into the image of Him. That it's not our old self trying harder to be good, but it is a new self growing stronger in Him. This, we see this verb, being renewed. That is a continuous thing. That is a progressive thing. It is being progressively and continuously conformed into the image of Christ. It means as we get to look back and see where we were and we get to see where we are today and we get to enjoy and praise God all the more knowing that we aren't the old self anymore. That we are new in Christ. And as we get to see these things, as we get to discover more of who Christ is, as we get to see more of the beauty of what the sacrifice was for Him on the cross, when we get to see and understand more of who He is, what do we get to do in return? Praise Him even more. Enjoy Him even more. Know Him even more. is that we get the excited period, don't we, whenever we first come to Christ. So we want to go and shout it to everybody. We want to tell everybody. We don't have this fear that people are going to talk down to us because we don't care in that moment, do we? We just want to say how good God is. And as we get to know him more, I don't know why our passion seems to dwindle. What I mean by that is where was the excitement whenever we first had? Where was that joy and that enthusiasm to go out? Is he not the same God now as he was whenever he saved us? Do we not have a greater understanding of who he is today than we did whenever we first encountered him? But yet our joy seems to fall. It seems to be so fickle at times, doesn't it? That, oh, I don't know if I can do it today. I don't know if I'm really that bothered today. I should have had that conversation, but it's all right. I'll get them next week. So we should have this joy and excitement in him each day, remembering that each day that we are granted is a day to glorify him. Each day that we have is a day to worship him again and to celebrate his victory over sin and death again. Is that whenever we wake up and we say that this is the day that the Lord has made, our rejoicing and being glad in it is worshiping and acknowledging him for who he is and for who we are. Is that our breath is only given because of God's grace. And so what should that do? That should put off everything else. Remember, you are renewed. Remember, you are a new creation. Verse 11. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. Like I said earlier, is that the kingdom of Christ breaks all social norms, doesn't it? Ethnic pride dies. Cultural superiority dies. Human and social hierarchy dies. Human division dies because Christ breaks through all of these things. Is that he infiltrates any and everywhere. This is the beauty, is that Christ isn't, that God isn't constrained to English. Is that we can have Bibles in multiple languages given out to multiple people and they can still worship and read and enjoy the same word of God that we get to in this country. Is that it breaks social norms and makes it to where, even though maybe on paper we're not people that we would necessarily associate with, but we have this one thing in common with one another. The thing that should bind us closer together than even our own families themselves is that Christ is in us. Is that look around you today. These are your brothers and sisters. There's no distinction anymore. Sometimes this is hard. It's hard for me because I'm a proud Texan. You may laugh, but I love it. And it goes against that. Because I look at that and go, there's no better place. Francois will disagree with me. But the thing is that we can have those disagreements. Because what is truly uniting us together? It's not where we are from. It's not our culture. It's not our standing in society. It is Christ. That being brought from another country over to here is not of my own choosing, but it is because of Christ. Christ has placed you in this place. That Christ has given you a new identity if you are in him. That's where that therefore. you are able to put these things to death, not by your strength, not by your ability, but by his. And I want us to hear this today. I've said it 100 times already. The old you, if you are in Christ, is dead. The gospel forms you a new identity. And what happens is that the local church becomes the foretaste of heaven. That we get to worship him together. That we get to sing his praises together. You know, Francois said, I think it was last Sunday, said, if you don't like coming to church, then why do you want to go to heaven? If you're struggling with church, then why does heaven appeal? Because if this stuff isn't something that you enjoy now, then why are you going to want to seek it for eternity? Because we get to worship him together. We get to enjoy him together for forever. Being built for eternity, worshiping him. Praising him. Glorifying him. Holy, holy, holy is he. We get to do that together without the constraints of sin anymore. That whenever we're sitting there worshiping God, we're only focusing upon worshiping God. We're not sitting there thinking, how much longer is this going to take? We're not sitting there thinking, is the chicken going to be dry whenever I get home? We're not sitting there thinking of, here's what I have to do tomorrow morning whenever I wake up, is that we get to focus fully on him. Fully praising him. We are a new creation. The old is dead. The alive is in Christ. And Christ is all and in all. Christ alone is our boast. If we are in him. Christ alone is our boast. Christ alone is the thing that we get to wave the flag for. You know, the Texas flag doesn't wave higher. The Christian flag should be the one that waves. It's not that one should be higher than the other. It's that there should only be one. Now, Paul's message here is not a moralistic one. He's not saying, now, if you do these things, now you're going to be good. And the power to obey God's commands does not come from the law, but it comes from Christ himself. The power to obey comes from him alone. Just like the power to save only comes from him alone. That Paul's message is that if you have died with Christ, therefore put sin to death. If you have risen with Christ, therefore walk in the newness of life with him. If you are being renewed in Christ, then reflect his character. If you are united to the body of Christ, love without distinction. It's that the old is gone. If you've died with him, put the sin to death with him. Don't try to unbury it. If you have risen with Christ, walk in the newness with him. Be renewed by him. And by doing so, that does reflect his character. And be united to the body of Christ. That's the local church. Being united to the body of Christ is not sitting at home watching YouTube, enjoying a sermon. It is being together as believers in this church. Remember, I said this is a coveted community. We are called. If you are in this room, you're not in this room by mistake. And if we are in this room, then love one another without distinction. to love everybody equally as brothers and sisters in Christ with that commonality between one another. And remember, of all of these things, verse 11 sums it up beautifully, is that Christ is all and Christ is in all. As I say, is that as we are trying to put these things to death, Christ is already there with you, encouraging you, convicting you, challenging you, forming you more and more into his image as we live our lives. So can I challenge you? And this is, as I say all the time whenever I preach, this isn't something that I think to myself, right, well, I've got this one ticked off. Because if I know anything, is that above everything else in my life, this is what gets me in the most trouble. From the time I was able to use it to today. Don't believe me? Look at my report cards from primary school till now. Go talk to my boss. He'll still say the same thing. Justin, shut up. But if we are in Christ, live as though we belong to him. Work as though you belong to him. Worship as if you belong to him. Amen. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the challenge that what it is of knowing that we can't do these things by our own strength. Lord, we know that it is only by your grace and your mercy that we are who we are. Lord, that you are the one who lifts us. You are the one who sustains us. You are the one that keeps us. And Lord, that your word says that you never let go. Lord, forgive us for the times whenever we are weak. Lord, forgive us for the times when we are arrogant in thinking that we can do this life on our own. And Lord, I pray that we would, as a body of believers, Lord, would be striving to be more like you. That each day as we wake up, Lord, that you would renew in us a passion and a desire to want to know more of who you are. Lord, a passion and a desire to want to worship you as true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We praise you and give you all glory. Amen.